That same day, that's Easter day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Some of you may have heard what is, I believe, a true story from the Battle of Waterloo. I was so impressed with it, I actually used it in a school assembly. It's been wonderful these last 2 weeks to have 2 weeks on Easter with the children. To talk about Maundy Thursday and Good Friday 1 week, but to spend a whole assembly on Easter Day and Resurrection Day and talk to them about what happened there. And I use this illustration, and I just want to remind you if you've heard it before. If you haven't, back in 1815, a long time ago, the Battle of Waterloo, there were no mobile phones. Messages were sent by semaphore from the highest places possible with flags, red and yellow flags, in certain positions, spelling out letters. And in the Battle of Waterloo, Wellington was fighting Napoleon, and the battle was won by Wellington. But in sending the message back, it got interrupted by bad weather. And I believe it was actually on Winchester Cathedral that the message had to be stopped. It was coming up from the south, coming up the country. And the message, the first part of it, was sent. But unfortunately, just the first two words, Wellington defeated. The message fully was Wellington defeated the enemy. But that bit didn't get through till the next day. So there was, for a time, confusion. There was concern that Wellington had been defeated until Wellington defeated the enemy. The second part came through. With Good Friday, it looked like Jesus was defeated. But there's no doubt about it today. The message comes through loud and clear, for he has conquered sin and death through the resurrection. The enemy is defeated through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was interested in that story of what happened there with Waterloo, how it was poor visibility that led to the problem. A fog came down and they couldn't see. That was the reason. They couldn't send the message on. It couldn't go any further. And they had to wait for a clearer visibility for the message to be sent on. We were reminded this morning, and we've seen it over these last few days together, there was darkness, wasn't there? Darkness while Jesus suffered on the cross, being separated from his Father. Daylight was restored, but for those watching on, much darkness still remained. Poor visibility was still around. We heard this morning, before dawn, in the darkness of the morning, there in the garden, they physically were surrounded by darkness, but in their minds and in their understanding, there was poor visibility. There was not an understanding of what was going on at all. You know, in Mark's gospel, we always look at Luke and Matthew, but in Mark's gospel, it really sums it up ever so well. Because again and again it reads, they did not believe it. They did not believe it. And who would? What is this? I would be very worried if I was reading four gospel accounts and everybody was going, yay, of course. But they don't go, yay, of course. They go, what? Because what we're talking about here is not normal. It's not normal. There are a few accounts of people raised to life like Lazarus, but then they died. And these are very, very extreme instances. But now we have Jesus raised to life himself and for all time, not to die again. They did not believe them. They did not believe them. They did not believe them. Mark says that in Mark 16. But he also says this, which is helpful for the passage that we just read. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, and here it is again, but they did not believe them either. And then, ultimately, Jesus appears to them and rebuked them for their stubborn refusal to believe. Well, I think it is one of those things that actually is evidence of the resurrection, the response to it. Because these were not gullible, simple people that would believe anything. We can talk of Thomas, can't we? And how he wanted to see for himself, wanted to put his hands where the wounds were. He wasn't simply going to believe any old thing that was told to him. Darkness. Darkness of the mind. Poor visibility. And to be fair, let's not be critical, because if you were there and I was there, would we not just be in the same sort of situation? I mean, who's not in this room said, what is happening? What is going on in the world? Who's not looked round and with poor visibility looked and said, Lord, what are you doing? What's happening to the church? Testimony of these so-called leaders of the national church. Most of them don't even believe. Lord, what is happening? What's going on? We can't make it out why things have turned out the way they have. Now, sometimes along the way, with hindsight and with a bit of insight and wisdom from the Lord, we see a little bit, but a lot of the time, we're walking by faith. We're not seeing as we would like to see. Well, the disciples had seen something. Cleopas, who I want to look at tonight, Cleopas. I want to, he'd been there. He'd seen. He'd had reported to him what was going on. He was in the know as far as you could be in the know. But still for him, it wasn't all falling into place. Jesus' disciples had been there and seen the anguish in prayer of their Lord. And then they'd seen the brutality of the arrest. The women and John had seen him suffer on the cross where the others had all fled. Self-preservation. With the brutality of the Roman execution on the cross. And then now today, the women, Peter and John, had been trying to comprehend what had happened at the tomb, at the burial site. There was a large degree of uncertainty. Testimony was given, but talk of angels, talk of this, that and the other was just clouding the whole picture. There was poor visibility on the matter. And in the midst of this, we're introduced to a man named Cleopas and his friend who walked and talked of all that they had seen and heard that had happened. They discussed the last few days. Often we do that, don't we? We just sit around and we perhaps just talk about, did you see this on the news? Did you see that? Did you know this has happened in Rochford? We just catch up on what's going on. But they couldn't comprehend. This was the big story from Jerusalem. Nothing else was being spoken of. This crucifixion. What had happened to Jesus? And of course, it's only in seeing Jesus that what had happened and what was happening made sense. Without that encounter, that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, when their eyes were opened to who he is, that he's there with them, that suddenly things fell into place. So let us take a look through the eyes of Cleopas. Let's take a look. As I say, the visibility is not good to begin with. But he talks about what he's seen. Jesus comes alongside and joins the conversation. And Jesus' conversation with Cleopas revealed what Cleopas had seen. And he says, doesn't he, to Jesus, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Everybody else had seen. Everybody else knew somebody who'd been a bit nearer and heard this and seen that. Everybody was passing on the news of what had happened. Now, of course, Jesus knew. He'd been there. It was him upon that cross. He'd been at the center of all that had happened. Was Cleopas thinking of beyond the cross, perhaps to the Palm Sunday journey into Jerusalem as well? Had he been part of that? But certainly he mentions what we call Good Friday, as the chief priests handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. This is what Cleopas had seen for himself. He'd seen the evil acts of men. He'd seen what had been done to Jesus. But as Jesus talks with him, it moves on from what he'd seen to what he'd hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now this tells us something more about Cleopas, not just that he saw and recorded in his own mind the actions of what had happened around him, but also that he was a man of faith, if you like. With his mind's eye, he looked forward. What could be if this one who rides into Jerusalem on a donkey becomes king, if he takes over everything, if he rescues us from the Romans, if he redeems us, if he sorts things through, what could be? And hence his disappointment, and hence he's perplexed at what position he finds himself and what the people find themselves in now. He was looking for a future day when things would change. And Jesus lets him express those hopes and how he feels they are dashed. And Cleopas goes on from that, not just to say what he's seen and what he's hoped for, but what now he's heard. Some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Where does this leave us? Can Cleopas somehow, some way, see his way through this to what's going on? Well, only when Jesus opens his eyes. And I'll come to that in a moment. Cleopas is trying to process it. But he couldn't make sense of it. And quite frankly, it just doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. You can't just put everything there and find the boxes to tick with it. How can this possibly be? It can only be God. It is God. It is the Son of God coming back to life. On Tuesday, some of us were here for coffee morning, and I was one of them. And after coffee morning, I was about to pull out onto North Street. I've done it many times. It's not a very difficult manoeuvre in a car. I looked to see if anything was coming. And made my little journey onto... I'll try to make my journey onto the road. And as soon as I came out of our car park, another little car parked here outside the church chose to set off at the same time. Now, I'm glad to say we didn't hit each other. But I didn't see him, and he didn't see me. But we were both looking. That got me thinking about what we see and what we don't see. And how sometimes we think we're looking, but we're not really looking. And there are reasons why sometimes we think we're looking, and we miss, and we don't see what's there in front of us. We see where we are looking. Just that area. They talk about peripheral vision around that area. But so often we are just focusing in a certain area. These days, of course, a lot of people walk around with these mobile phones, and that's all they're seeing, literally that little square in front of them. But you know the expression, don't you? Sometimes we say, we can't see for looking. It's right there under our noses, what we're looking for, but we just couldn't see it because we were looking in the wrong place. We somehow got blinkered to other possibilities. We went to a certain place. No, it's not there, but actually, there it was, with a little bit of a closer inspection. Sometimes we don't see, of course, because we get distracted. Sadly, those who use this method to catch us off guard, thieves I'm thinking of particularly, they draw us to one thing, and while we're distracted elsewhere, they're doing what they're doing. We don't see because we get distracted. We see what we expect to see. Back on North Street, I looked left and right, though arguably because it's a one-way street, I should have just looked left. But I looked left and I looked right. But I didn't look in front, I looked beyond the cars to see what was coming. I didn't look immediately in front of me. And so the two cars pull out together. And then, of course, there are those who won't see, who choose not to look into what's going on. I think even there in the Easter story, there's evidence of that, isn't it? The Roman soldiers who, you know, were willing to spread lies rather than lose their job. I mean, surely, if something so terrific had happened, it would be worth looking into, but they wanted to save their skins. They didn't want to see. And there are many people who won't look for the fear that they might see. But Cleopas is a man of some faith. And as he tells the story, as he walks along the road, he talks about the women. And he says about what had happened, and he concludes with this, "But him they did not see." But him they did not see. Why? Well, partly because they were distracted, surely. I mean, an earthquake is enough to take your eyes off things. The stone rolled away, looking at the stone, thinking about how it got to where it got to and what's going on. Then looking into the tomb and seeing there's no body there. Looking at what's not there, rather than who is there. The thoughts of grave robbers, are they still around? The fear factor as well. All these things contribute to not seeing. But most of all, of course, they didn't see because he wasn't there, because he'd risen from the dead. He told them that, but they were not expecting it. And so when Jesus appears and speaks those words to Mary, she thinks he's the gardener. Even when angels speak into the situation, they're still not expecting to see Jesus. They needed their eyes opening. They needed that encounter, that meeting with the Lord. And he graciously, as we heard this morning, didn't just send angels to do his bidding, but actually personally spoke that word to them in that situation. But for Cleopas and his own situation, with his friend on the Emmaus Road, it says their eyes were opened as Jesus broke bread. They recognized him in that action. It's not the breaking of bread that we're talking of. It's not the communion service. There was no cup mentioned. It's just the fellowship breaking of bread. Was it the blessing, the words he used? Was it the wounds that he showed as he broke bread? We don't know. We don't know what it is. But graciously, he is revealed to them in that moment. And as they've walked along, he's been unfolding to them who he is through his words. Teaching them, their hearts are burning within them. That's another evidence that he's there with them. The warmth of his presence. Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day's almost over. They didn't want to lose the moment that they'd enjoyed so much with this stranger who walked along with them. And so, yes, it's the breaking of the bread that is said. That was the defining moments, but the journey, the words, and the warmth of the fellowship as they walked along. As they knew these things, it became clear. Their eyes were opened. It's the Lord. I was thinking about that and you and me and how we know the Lord. How we know the Lord is with us. For most of us, it's in the ordinary things, isn't it? It's in the common grace that we receive. The blessings of our daily lives. And yes, of course, through his word, as we read it day by day. And by his spirit, he draws near to us. Again, the warmth of his presence around and about us. As our eyes are opened, and that's an act of God's wonderful grace, we can see more of Jesus. But still we look in our world, and I know because you talk to me about it, and you say, I don't understand what's going on. I don't see, where is Jesus in this? We talk about the news of the week. What is going on? But is the Lord or not? Is he the sovereign Lord? Are things working out according to his plan and purposes? Do we believe what his word clearly teaches us? Sometimes we just get too preoccupied, we get too busy, we're not looking in the right places. We're looking to our television, our newspapers, rather than to his word. But even when at times, sometimes we are looking in the right places, it can at times be hard to see. We do have to trust. But we know that the Lord is with us in the daily blessings he brings to us, in his word to our hearts each day, in his presence as we worship him, as we gather together with his people. You see, Cleopas had seen things, hoped for things, and then heard of things that seemed to dash those hopes. But it was only when he really saw Jesus in that personal, powerful way that his hopes suddenly became renewed. 7 miles away from Jerusalem, I reckon that's 7 miles back from Emmaus, he probably ran. He'd walked, dejected, one foot after the other, really not knowing where he was going. But as soon as Jesus revealed himself to him, he was back, running to tell them, with renewed hope. What he'd heard now brought great comfort to his heart. What he'd heard before was just added to the cloud, but now he could see the sunshine, as it were, through the cloud. He'd seen Jesus. His hope was renewed, and he was comforted in his heart to know this was all part of the plan. How about you? What have you seen of Jesus? What are you hoping for from him? Are you hearing from him? Are you holding on to what he has promised? The reason I read on in Luke, and you probably thought, oh, he could have stopped there, was I wanted to read some of the words that Luke records that Jesus then said to them. Because clearly, you know, there were a lot more words spoken between them, but this is just a bit of a summary, a bit of a taster of Jesus' words. And they make really fascinating reading. It's a fascinating collection. Because first of all, there are words of peace. And if you follow the Lord Jesus in this sort of world, you need to hear his words of peace for your heart. Peace be with you, he said to them on more than one occasion, but here especially. Peace be with you. Not as this world gives. I give you a peace beyond anything this world knows. Peace be with you. We need that peace in 21st century church life. Everything must be fulfilled, he says in verse 44. There is a plan. There is a purpose in all that God is doing. It's not ad hoc. It's not, you know, the sovereign Lord working through all sorts of things. That's not to say we're not robots. We're not, you know, we have free will, but there is an end. We're not just going round and round in circles. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is what it's about. He is coming again, and we're looking to that day. And there is a sense in which certain things that we are facing and will face have got to be. Everything will be fulfilled. Now, as I say, we don't need to take that in a sort of fatalistic way. We can still know the peace of the Lord through it all. But there is purpose. There was purpose in our Lord's suffering, and there's purpose in what is going on even in our world today. He speaks words of peace and purpose. He speaks words of pardon. He speaks about how repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. We need to know that, don't we? We need to, personally ourselves, just to remind ourselves that he speaks words of pardon to us. When we were thinking on Friday of words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Comes home to me first, and then I must live that out to others as well. There's repentance and forgiveness of sins. The good news of the gospel message. It's about pardon, being pardoned and pardoning others. And then, of course, it goes on to Pentecost, really, or the forerunner to Pentecost, about words of power. You'll be clothed with power from on high. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll get the job done. And we need to hear those words from our Lord. Not just be at peace, brothers and sisters at Rochford Congregational Church, but rely on me for the power to do the work I have for you to do. To get that message of pardon out to the world. To fulfill the commission, the great commission of the church. And so these words individually are precious, but put together, they are a real package of words that hearing them, not just tonight, but through our Christian lives, just helps us and guides us to continue to walk along the path. So Luke records a taster of what was said. Cleopas and his friend and the disciples and the women and the other followers of the Lord Jesus. How precious these words were to hear Jesus speaking again to them. I hope we never reach that point of thinking, oh, yeah, I know that. Jesus speaking to you tonight. If you need peace, hear him. Peace be with you. If you're going through a tough time wondering what the heck it's all about, well, everything must be fulfilled. Trust him in his purposes and plans. With regard to pardon and forgiveness, you need to hear that word. Perhaps you've let him down. Again, we all do. Repentance and forgiveness is what it's about. And the power to live, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not in ourselves, not in our church, our programs. It's in him. The power of the Holy Spirit is what we need in all that we seek to do for him. So for Cleopas, this journey along the path, along the road, turned his life round literally and gave him everything now to live for in serving his Lord and Saviour. May each one of us, as we've walked together through the Easter events, the Easter story, may we ourselves know, like Cleopas, a new way forward, the Lord walking with us, guiding us into all he has for us together. Amen.